You are listening to the Forgotten News Podcast.
But before we begin, here are a few words about a couple of other podcasts that we think you might want to try.
It's been said you should never roam the grounds of what I had heard was alone after dark. Lurking in the shadows are tales of murder, mystery, and the unknown. Oh my. Approaching on your right is the occult, and I'd rethink purchasing your beverage from them this evening if I were you. Ahead, you'll find those childhood nursery rhymes that seemed so innocent, all grown up. Let your superstitions take hold as you hear the terrifying tales of ghosts, goblins, and ghouls. Even if you've been advised by your astrologer or psychic otherwise, the Lady's Medallion are the only safe passage through this season of Midnight Editions.
Hi, I'm Melanie Rose. I'm a voice actor on That Love podcast. Wow, that's a huge round of applause. I kind of have to say that I deserve it. I'm awesome. So why am I here? Where are my notes? Okay, found it. I just wanted to promote why you, the audience, should listen to our lovely podcast. One, we love romance. Actually, I don't. I'm more into noir films, but... Two, we entertain. At least that's what's written on here. I'm still not sure. Three, we're funny. I am. I'm not too sure about the other actors. Four, I guess there isn't a fourth reason why you should listen. You love me. There's a reason to listen to us. Or me, to be precise. Anyway, check out That Love podcast and follow us.
Bye.
Welcome to the Forgotten News Podcast. This is your window to hear true stories from long ago. Stories that once made headlines. Stories that people thought would be unforgettable. Yet those stories were soon lost in the sands of time or were buried deep in the dustbin of history. In this podcast, we shake off the sand and dust from those stories and share them here with you, as fresh as the day they were first told.
And now, here's your hosts.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to this mini episode of the Forgotten News Podcast.
This is Jim.
Hi, this is Kitten. Oh my gosh. I mean, Kit, this is Kit. Kit Karen. Hi, this is Kit Karen.
Hey there, everybody. This is Jessica. And on this mini episode, we are not going to waste any time pussyfooting around with a lot of unnecessary banter.
Nope. Instead, we are going to pounce right into our featured story.
Now, here's the first thing that we are going to mention. This episode is being released on April 23rd, and that date is an anniversary. But it's not one of those fancy anniversaries like a centennial or a silver jubilee or anything else like that.
It's just one of those times when a historical date just happens to match up with a current date.
And in this case, that date is April 23rd, 1949.
I'm guessing that date probably isn't ringing any bells for you. That's okay. You'll know all about it in just a few minutes.
Now, at this point, we would usually launch into a short warning about all the things in our featured story that might be too scary or too intense for some listeners. However, on this mini episode, we don't think any kind of warning will be necessary.
At least, we definitely hope not.
Especially since the story will be told by a guest narrator with the help of several other guest voices, all of whom are very talented and very nice.
So, with all of that being said,
on with the show!
Our story begins in the early 1940s. World War II was raging on battlefields around the globe. Millions of American troops were fighting with every ounce of strength and energy to defeat the Nazi menace. But meanwhile, back home, in the US, an entirely different war was being fought. Specifically, an intense political battle in the legislature of the state of Illinois between the Friends of Birds and the Friends of Cats. The first shot in this war between these two species had taken place in 1940 when a statewide coalition was launched called Friends of Birds, Incorporated. This group was a federation of the numerous active groups and clubs of birdwatchers, bird lovers, and bird protection organizations across the state. The purpose of this alliance was to aggressively promote and lobby for the Illinois legislature to enact a bill to protect wild birds from their main predator, namely, outdoor cats. And so, for 10 long years, beginning in 1940, during every session of the legislature, these many, many human friends of birds would swarm the State House building in Springfield, Illinois, to push for the proposed legislation. In 1945, and again in 1947, the bill passed in the state Senate, but was not brought to a vote in the House. In 1949, once more, the bill was passed in the Illinois Senate, and was then sent to the House. But this time, very unexpectedly, it reached the floor, and was put on the agenda for discussion and a vote. The speeches of the supporters were interrupted by numerous catcalls and mocking meows. Nevertheless, on the afternoon of April 13th, it passed the Illinois House of Representatives by a vote of 87 to 31, and was sent to the governor to either sign or veto. Now, unfortunately, for most of the public, this bill had been basically under the radar up to this point. But once the public began to learn about the bill and what was actually in it, let's just say, this bill quickly transformed from being totally non-controversial to red-hot radioactive. According to an article published by the Associated Press on April 16, 1949, bundles of letters, petitions, and telegrams were arriving at the governor's office every day in regard to the bill. So, you might be wondering, what on earth was so contentious about this bill? The bill had been proposed as a law to protect wild birds against free-roaming cats. Hence, on April 13th, 1949, the New York Times nicknamed it the Marauding Cat Bill. But, to accomplish its noble purpose, the bill declared outdoor cats to be a public nuisance and accused them of randomly murdering defenseless songbirds. The bill prohibited owners of cats from allowing them to prowl or roam while outdoors. In addition, it authorized any citizen, as well as the police, to capture any cat that was discovered to be pussyfooting around the block or wandering upon private property that belonged to anyone other than its owner. The cat would then be taken and held by the local municipality until the owner paid a fine. That was more like a ransom. Basically, it was the equivalent of approximately $15 in the present day. These fines would go to a special fund that would be used for, quote, conservation, propagation, and preservation of insectivorous birds, unquote. In other words, birds that eat bugs. However, despite the fact that this unique attribute of birds definitely helps to prevent insects from harming gardens and flowers, it was simply not enough to stop the massive outcry from cat owners throughout the state, urging the governor to veto the bill. And they weren't the only opponents. For example, Norman Ross, the president of the Humane Society of Evanston, Illinois, stated,
"The bill is a little one-sided. It does nothing to keep birds from annoying cats."
Bascom Timmons, a newspaper reporter and owner of 26 cats, called the governor's office and stated that he would do everything in his power to have the governor elected president in the next election if he vetoed the bill. Mrs. Maud Merriam, described by the Associated Press as a friend of stray cats for over 30 years, was emphatic in her opposition to the bill.
"Cats are decent, useful animals. They've done a major job of fighting rats for many generations, but their menace to birds is negligible."
An article, published in the New York Times on April 16, 1949, quoted a telegram sent to the governor.
"Please sign no anti-cat, pro-rat and mouse bill."
It was signed Mrs. Via, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, so I'll just spell it. P-U-S-E-Y, of Moline, Illinois. On the other hand, Mrs. Gertrude Charney, the president of Friends of Birds, who had led the fight to pass the bill, complained to reporters in regard to false rumors about the bill. She stated that the main purpose of the proposed law was to protect insect-eating birds. Mrs. Charney, who was frequently described in news stories as short and white-haired, then went on to say,
"The bill doesn't require cats to be put on leashes. It just says they must be kept on their owner's premises. It's aimed at tramp cats to keep our lovely birds alive. That's all."
In contrast, Miss Irene Castle McLaughlin Enzinger, the founder and president of an animal shelter, said,
"No one loves birds more than I, but I can't condone freelance trapping of cats. The bill is a vehicle for the venting of grudges among neighbors. The governor should certainly veto it."
And so, this raging controversy landed straight in the lap of the newly elected governor, a man named Adlai Stevenson. Now, in the present day, Governor Stevenson is basically the answer to a trivia question, because a few years later, in 1952 and again in 1956, he was the Democratic Party candidate for president. He was unsuccessful both times, despite the promised help of Bascom Timmons. Stevenson was known for being witty and extremely intelligent. As a result, he was sometimes even mocked with the insult, egghead. But, getting back to 1949, Stevenson considered the bill and weighed all the arguments both for and against. And, on April 23rd, 1949, he made his decision. He issued a veto of the bill, along with the following written explanation of his reasons.
"I herewith return, without my approval, Senate Bill Number 93, entitled and act to provide protection to insectivorous birds by restraining cats. This is the so-called Cat Bill. I veto and withhold my approval from this bill for the following reasons. It would impose fines on owners or keepers who permitted their cats to run at large off their premises. It would permit any person to capture or call upon the police to pick up and imprison cats at large. It would permit the use of traps. The bill would have statewide application on farms, in villages, and in metropolitan centers. This legislation has been introduced in the past several sessions of the legislature, and it has, over the years, been a source of much comment, not all of which has been in a serious vein. It may be that the General Assembly has now seen fit to refer it to one who can view it with a fresh outlook. Whatever the reason for passage at this session, I cannot believe there is a widespread public demand for this law, or that it could, as a practical matter, be enforced. Furthermore, I cannot agree that it should be declared public policy of Illinois that a cat visiting a neighbor's yard or crossing the highway is a public nuisance. It is in the nature of cats to do a certain amount of unescorted roaming. Many live with their owners in apartments or other restricted premises, and I doubt if we want to make their every brief foray an opportunity for a small game hunt by zealous citizens, with traps or otherwise. I am afraid this bill could only create discord, recrimination, and enmity. Also, consider the owner's dilemma. To escort a cat abroad on a leash is against the nature of the cat, and to permit it to venture forth for exercise, unattended, into a night of new dangers, is against the nature of the owner. Moreover, cats perform useful service, particularly in rural areas, in combating rodents. This is a work they necessarily perform alone and without regard for property lines. We are all interested in protecting certain varieties of birds, and cats destroy some birds, I know well, and believe this legislation would further very little the worthy cause to which its proponents give such unselfish effort. The problem of cat versus bird is as old as time. If we attempt to resolve it by legislation, who knows but what we may be called upon to take sides in the future? Perhaps an age-old problem of dog versus cat, bird versus bird, or even bird versus worm. In my opinion, the state of Illinois and its local governing bodies already have enough to do without trying to control feline delinquency. For these reasons, and not because I love birds the less or cats the more, I veto and withhold my approval from Senate Bill number 93. Respectfully, Adlai E. Stevenson, Governor, Springfield, State of Illinois, April 23rd, 1949.
Now, the veto of the cat bill might have been inevitable. After all, Governor Stevenson was the owner of a cat named Muffy, who might have had some unfair influence on the decision. But this was not the final end of the cat bill. There were some members of the legislature who were very upset with the veto, and they vigorously pushed for an override of the decision. However, To the elation of cat lovers, the veto was upheld by a vote of 28-12. And, possibly to the further elation of cat lovers, the veto statement of Governor Stevenson has often been included in textbooks for creative writing classes, in colleges and high schools, as an example of good-natured political humor and gentle sarcasm. And that, possibly, might be the best legacy of the Illinois Cat Bill of 1949.
Hello again, listeners. That is the end of the story of the Illinois Cat Control Bill of 1949. Okay. What did you guys think about that story?
Okay, so here's what I'm going to say about that story. First of all, it's hilarious that we would try to pass legislation to intervene on nature, you know.
Cats and birds don't get along. That's just the way it is.
Well, duh. Cats kill birds. It's just what they do.
Oh my god. The Marauding Cat Bill. I can understand why Mr. Stevenson vetoed it. Because I have a cat, Charlie, and he would hate if I didn't let him outside again. So that is very, very crazy. And I can understand why it was vetoed.
Absolutely. The governor made the right decision. And as far as the argument that some people were making, that the bill would have ended up forcing people to put their cat on a leash. I actually know people who walk their cat with a leash.
And also I would say that walking a cat on a leash is a crime against humanity. But that's only my little opinion, so don't take that for anything. I just think it's weird. I think it's the weirdest thing ever. So I don't recommend it. But listen, you guys do whatever you want, live your lives. But I don't think that that's going to keep cats from killing birds. Anyway, just to bring it back around to the original point.
No.
By the way, do you remember that anniversary that we mentioned before the story? April 23rd? The same day that this mini-episode is being released. Well, if you were paying attention to the story, then hopefully you already know that it is the anniversary of the veto of the Marauding Cat Bill by Governor Adlai Stevenson back in 1949. And on that note, I think it's time to move on. However, before we move on, Jim, Jessica, and I would like to express our deepest thanks to our guest narrators and our guest voices. So please, come up to the microphone, take a bow, and tell our listeners anything that you want them to know about you.
Hey there, I'm Erin Summonsby. I'm a voice actor specializing in animation, audio drama, and narration, with experience editing audio and video. If you need a voice for your next passion project, let me make it my passion project too. I can be contacted from my website, summonsbyproductions.com. That's SUMINSBY productions.com. Thanks for listening, and hope you enjoyed.
Hey, everybody. My name is Frank Guglielmi. I'm a Philadelphia guy, South Philly, for those of you who know Philadelphia. I'm a retired school teacher, and I've been doing voice acting for about 6 or 7 years now. I've done commercials, I've done e-learning, I've done interpretive reading, I've done reading stories. My favorite, of course, is doing these audio dramas. I just love doing these audio dramas. If you need a good male voice, you could reach me. I'm at gugie806@gmail.com. gugie806@gmail.com. I have a Discord, gugie#1219. You could reach me through Facebook. And if you're interested, you could go on to SoundCloud.com and type in my name, and you'll get all of my voice samples. You can go on YouTube, and you can type in my name in the search, and you'll get a list and some of all the audio dramas I've done. Thank you very much. Hope to hear from you guys soon. Bye-bye now.
Hi, everybody. I'm Samantha Thompson, and I was the co-host of the Spooky Adventures of Alec and Sam podcast. That's right. I was Sam. Anyways, that podcast was my husband and I spending a lot of time watching Ghost Adventures episodes and talking crap about it. But anyways, I also do other voiceover work. So if that's something that you would like me to help you out with, please reach out to me on Twitter at SpontaneousSam. You can also follow me on Instagram, or you can reach out to me via email at samikt888@aol.com. Thanks.
My name is Aaron Ratson. I can be reached at aaronratzan@gmail.com. Once again, Aaron Ratson at aaronratzan@gmail.com.
Hi, this is Angelique Bone. I'm an experienced freelance voice actor, podcaster, interviewer, announcer. Basically, if it requires talking, I'm here to do it. If you'd like me involved in your next project, feel free to send me an email at tubofterror@outlook.com.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Sigler-Ware. If you like my voice, wait, I've got more. Just ask me. If you would like to contact me for voice work, I can be contacted at rsiglerware@gmail.com. That's rsiglerware@gmail.com. I consider myself to be a well-rounded actor with experience in community theater, radio, and audio production. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to hear from you soon.
Goodbye.
Hi, this is Shannon Hull, host of the podcast Right in Front of My Face, the podcast that talks about big things happening right in front of us. Please find me at www.rightinfrontofmyface.net, on Twitter at infrontofmyface, and on Instagram at rightinfrontofmyface. Thanks for listening.
Thank you again to everyone. That was an incredible story, how you told it. You did an amazing job. Thanks again.
Hey, that was just wonderful. Thank you.
You guys were absolutely terrific. Thanks so much. Now, moving along, first things first. Because this is a mini episode, we will not be presenting our usual features, police blotter and court news, and our recommendation and advice segment.
However, they will both be on our next regular episode.
Nevertheless, we are still going to ask you to go to Apple Podcasts, also known as iTunes, to give a 5-star rating and review for the Forgotten News podcast. Wait a minute. I said 5 stars, right? But just in case I didn't, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating for the Forgotten News podcast. 5 stars. Nothing less than 5 stars.
And that is all you need to know about that.
However, in addition to reviews,
We really like getting direct input from our listeners. You can send us an email at forgottennewspodcast@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just use the search feature and you'll find us. It's as simple as that.
Listeners, speaking of Facebook and Twitter, we are going to take a second to ask you to do us a small favor. Anytime that you happen to notice someone, anyone, who is asking for a podcast recommendation, please be sure to suggest the Forgotten News Podcast.
Listeners, that would be super nice of you. So, thank you in advance for doing that.
By the way, everyone, if you are a regular listener, you probably can already guess what I'm about to say. But if you are a new listener, I want you to know that you can contact and interact with me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @KateKaren. Let me spell that for you. @KiteCaren. I am always completely open and willing to hear from you. All of you out there in our vast listening audience, give me your comments, compliments, or criticisms. Honestly, listeners, I always want to know what you think, and especially about how I'm doing. Hey, you can even slide into my DM box. But just be nice, okay? And I guarantee that I will respond. Probably when you least expect it.
Hey, y'all. This is Jessica. I'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to say, regardless of whether it's about me or the podcast. So, with that being said, you can reach me at xoxojessicaxoxo@gmail.com. I can also be reached on Twitter and all other social media at xoxojessicaxoxo. I look forward to hearing from you.
Now, listeners, in case you haven't already figured it out, we give you all of these different ways of contacting us because we truly like hearing from you. And we are absolutely sincere when we say that.
Now, finally, if you've made it this far, hi there. Welcome to the end of this mini episode. We truly hope that you liked it.
We also hope that you liked hanging out with us.
I don't know what else to say.
Wait. I do. I know exactly what to say. Remember, history is no mystery.
Thanks for listening.
Our next episode is coming soon.
Be sure to listen. We love you.
Bye, listeners.
Goodbye. This episode was recorded before a live audience of
us.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Forgotten News Podcast. You will now be returned back to the present day, and we hope that we can count on you to join us for our next episode.